All right. Good singing, good music today. It's been a blessing to me already. Let's get our Bibles now. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. We've been in it the last couple of weeks. I plan to continue in this book, maybe 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians gets more into end-time stuff, but 1 Thessalonians does as well, but we won't get into that today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're going to go to verses 1 through 6 this morning. And when you get that, stand together and we'll read these scriptures this morning if you're able. First Thessalonians 2, 1 through 6, the Bible says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." Let's stop there and pray. Father, God, direct us here in your word today, Lord. I pray you'd help us as we preach from these truths and these thoughts here this morning, Lord. And you just guide and direct us in it all. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I have enjoyed studying these books. We have been looking at it on Wednesday nights as well, and doing smaller portions on Wednesday nights. And I wasn't sure how far I wanted to go here this morning, but we're going to look at these first six verses today. And I want to talk today and preach on Paul's manner of work. Paul's manner of work. He is giving a review right here of when he was in Thessalonica. He was there for like 3 weeks before he got ran out of town. The Bible says he was reasoning and preaching and exhorting and teaching, and a few got saved, but he got ran out of town. Nevertheless, the church got established. And so now here he is writing back to the church and trying to help them. So he says here in these verses that we read, even though he had been persecuted for preaching in other places and got ran out of town in Thessalonica, he was not ashamed of what he was doing. He was not embarrassed. He was transparent. He was an open book. He was honest about it all. But he kept going regardless. So here he is sort of giving a review of when he was there and reminding them of how he behaved himself. Now, that's because we believe there were some, as happened about everywhere Paul went, there were critics saying, well, he was just here for this reason or here for that reason, or he wanted to make some money off of somebody, and he's a false teacher. So he does some self-defense as well in what he's saying here. So he's trying to set the record straight on how he behaved there. So he's not bragging on himself at all. He's just trying to answer the rumors of critics. But also his goal has been to encourage this church. I think everybody enjoys a pat on the back. Everybody enjoys some encouragement. Everybody needs some encouragement. Amen? Especially Christians today. Especially churches today. So that's what he was doing. Paul had been persecuted. He had been persecuted there in Thessalonica. And whenever he left Thessalonica in a hurry, he left that city in a hurry because of persecution, guess what? It didn't stop then. So this church that he's writing to, this young church of maybe perhaps a few believers at that point, it was becoming a strong church, a very good church, but now they were feeling the brunt of that persecution. So Paul's influence was still being felt there because he got the job done and got some souls saved and a church started. So I want us to notice today his work, his manner of work, or his manner of witness, you might say, or his manner of life, his character, and how he ministered there, and he recalled it all to them here in this letter. He says more about it, but we'll try to break it down and just look at this passage and this section of it today. But Paul's manner of work, let me give you a few ideas. Number one today, he worked with great purpose. He had a purpose in what he did. I like what he said there in verse 1. In verse 1, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. You know. He's saying, hey, you've heard this, you've heard that, you've heard the lies, but you know better. Hey, have you ever had to do that? Tell somebody, say, look, I know they said that, but you know better. Why would you believe that about me? You know better. That's basically what he's saying to them, right? Let them say what they're going to say. Let the rumors fly. Let the gossip happen. You and I know the truth, and God too. Isn't that really what matters? Amen. When people are going to criticize you and they're going to, you know, say all the manner of evil against you. But he says here, it was not in vain. Now, folks, I want to tell you, even success, if it's only done for temporal things in this life, is not really a success. Didn't the Lord talk about that? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Was that success? You know, some people have fame, they have fortune. You know, this world right now is still talking about people who've been dead and gone for a long time, but because they had fame and they had fortune and they left some music on the world or whatever else, and they touched the world in a big way, but yet they were lost without Christ and been suffering in hell ever since. It doesn't matter how many people say they're in a better place now. If they were lost, then it really was not a success if it didn't matter for eternity. You may never have fame, you may never have fortune, but if you've got a place up in heaven, that's the greatest success you can have right there. Amen? You may not be well known down here. You might even be like Paul, criticized down here, despised by some people. But if the Lord is pleased, that's what matters. So Paul said, our entering in unto you was not in vain. I went there, I spent 3 Sabbaths with you. Basically, we'd say 3 Sundays of teaching and preaching, but he would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he would preach and he would teach. They got angry, they got mad, but a few folks believed. So he said, hey, because you believed and you got saved and that little church is there now, it was not in vain. Hey, look, if you touch lives in any kind of way for the Lord, it wasn't in vain, right? If you're trying to live for the Lord and do some things for God, it's not in vain. The worst successes, I believe, are the ones that are only done for temporary things. If we only do it, our greatest successes are failures if they don't glorify God. Can I say it like that? The Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Eat, drink, whatever. He said, whatsoever you do, make sure the glory of God is your purpose. I said Paul had a great purpose. It was to glorify God. He wanted God to be lifted up. He wanted souls to be saved. He had a great purpose in what he was doing. The Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we know today, 60 plus years here in this church, it has not been in vain. The gospel has gone forth. Missionaries have been helped. Souls have been saved. Nothing, no Sunday here has been in vain. No service here has been in vain. No Wednesday night has been in vain. No VBS has been in vain. You say, well, I invited people. I went out on visitation or whatever, and nobody came. It was not in vain. It's never in vain, the work that we do for the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do for Jesus here in this church and throughout your Christian life, don't ever let the devil tell you it was in vain. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're wasting your time. Don't worry about the people that criticize you or get angry with you. The Bible also says, Isaiah says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of his mouth, it shall not return to me void. It's not in vain. He said, my word, and Isaiah was one. The Lord told him, they're not going to listen to you, but go tell them anyway. He said, what you do with my word is never void, never in vain. Well, they won't listen. It's not in vain. Noah might say, well, I preached for 120 years while I was building that ark, and the world perished because they would not listen to me. It was all done in vain. No, it wasn't. We're still preaching that story, and people are still getting saved by that story. People are getting warned by this story. Of course, he won his family. Amen. It was not in vain. But the fact that nobody listened to him, it was not in vain. It's still in the Bible. It's still great lessons there for you and me today. It teaches us about being in the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. It teaches the world about hearing the warnings of judgment to come. It was not in vain. He might have thought all those years building a boat and it never rained before. He thought it was in vain. Not in vain. Isaiah said, "It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." God, His word. You leave a gospel tract somewhere. Let somebody. You ever gave one to somebody and saw them throw it away? Oh well, that was in vain. No, it wasn't. You did it for Jesus. Amen. What they do with it's up to them. They might have done something in vain, but you didn't. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen, right? Isn't that a wonderful thing? The world's going to pass away. We know that. The world's going to pass away. We use those words when somebody dies. They pass away. The Bible says this world's going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So nothing you do for the Lord is ever in vain. He had a great purpose. You remember whenever David, is there not a cause? Boy, that was a great question by David, wasn't it? He was being ridiculed. He was being told, you know, it's a waste of time. He has been told, you going back home to the sheep, little boy. He said, is there not a cause? Talking about Goliath down there. He said, God's being reproached. Is there not a cause? He said, is there not a great purpose here? Paul felt the same way. So who you give your life to matters. I mean, why give your life to vain endeavors? Now, look, it's one thing to have hobbies, but I mean, you have things that you enjoy and you ought to. But I'm telling you, some folks have just given their life over to things that don't matter. Given their whole entire being and passion to things that are even against God. There's no success in that. I'm thinking these people that are sold out on climate change, global warming, whatever, and all of that, and they give millions to it, and they give speeches for it, and boy, they do research and whatever and all that stuff, and I'm thinking, why don't you just get saved and put all that energy in getting the gospel around the world? That's not in vain. What you're doing is in vain. You can't save the world. God's already got a plan for this earth. Amen. It's in vain to go against God and to give our lives to so many things that just don't matter. But Paul went to this city preaching. Paul went to the city teaching the Word of God. Paul went to the city planting the gospel seed, planting a church, and that is never in vain. I mean, lives were changed. Eternal souls, destinations were changed. That's why I say again, whatever you do here in the name of the Lord, not in vain. Never in vain. Don't ever think what you're doing is in vain. Don't ever think, well, I'm underappreciated. Well, maybe. That might be true. Nobody's taking notice. Oh, yes, they are. God notices. God even says He keeps your tears and your prayers in a bottle. He's paying attention. Amen? It's not in vain. Every prayer is not in vain. Whatever you do for the Lord, never in vain. He had a great purpose. Reach souls, edify the saints, glorify God. He was loving, serving, and giving. Not in vain. It had a great purpose. Amen? Let's say this number two. He also worked in spite of the opposition. Now, what he said in verse 2 is very interesting. He said in verse 2, but even after we had suffered before, were shamefully entreated, as you know, in Philippi, we were still bold to come speak to you. Now, he's referring to Acts chapter 16. I said the other night when I was talking about this on Wednesday night, I said, well, I'm pretty sure Thessalonica knew what had just happened in Philippi because he left Philippi to go to Thessalonica. Well, and then I read this and was reminded, yeah, they knew. He said they knew. He said, you know, right? They knew it. No doubt about it. They knew. What happened? He got arrested. He got beaten. He got thrown into jail. And Paul and Silas sang praises to God. Why? Because they knew what they were doing was not in vain. And then they left there in a miraculous manner, and they went on to Thessalonica, and guess what? Same thing. Went to the synagogue, started preaching. Hey, you know what, folks? His manner of work, he did it in spite of the opposition. Hey, are you going to keep going for Jesus' sake? In spite of what the devil tries to do? Are you going to keep teaching your children right in spite of what the world, flesh, and the devil is doing? Are you going to keep staying on the right track in your church in spite of what anybody else and everybody else says? That's what we're here to do, in spite of the opposition. You keep going forward for Jesus. And that's exactly what he was doing there, no matter what happened. By the way, that Philippian jailer got saved. That's one of the best stories in the Bible. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That's one of the great stories in the Bible. And then he leaves there and goes to another city after being beaten and jailed. And then he gets run out of this city. His manner of work was to keep going. You know, preachers and pastors quit every week. I hear this stuff all the time. It's not as easy as many people think. Y'all awake this morning? Sir, you only work one day a week. What you going to quit for? Ha! Y'all, come on now, y'all with me? There's more than one day. There's more than this, okay? There's more going on. Anyway, but what I'm getting at is, I'm just joking there a little bit, but preachers and pastors, a lot of them are under a lot of stress. No support, no help, no encouragement. And they all wish they could pastor Liberty Baptist Church in Snow Hill. I'm telling you that now. They wish that. I knew a pastor years ago. He went to a good church, but he had had a couple of bad experiences. But he had a chip on his shoulder because of that, so he kept wanting to fight with everybody. His wife pleaded with him, "This church is not like those churches. You don't have to fight with these people." But he just couldn't shake it and get over it, and he caused unnecessary troubles for himself because he was just been so hurt so badly. And it went bad at that place when it shouldn't have gone bad at that place, but he just couldn't get over it. But I read this stuff all the time. Preachers and pastors, I quit every week. I read about, this is encouraging for me, old pastors are in demand now because there's not many young pastors coming behind them, so I still got a job security, amen? That's really a sad report, but I look at the bright side of it, amen? I read some reports about that recently. Older pastors, they can't retire, but they still got a job because nobody's coming behind them. That's sad. But anyway, that's another story. But you know what? A lot of Christians and church members quit too. All the time. I hear the stories all the time. I heard the stories this week. Now look, sometimes the stories are excuses. I get that. Well, here's why I don't go to church. Here's what happened. And this guy said this, and then, I hear it all the time. But you know what? Don't quit on Jesus. Get up and go again. Amen. Get up and go again. Maybe you don't go there, but go somewhere. Don't quit totally. Go all the time. But people quit. Why? Now look, it may be excuses, but people do get hurt. I get that. People talk about being church hurt. That's a term. I understand that. I get that. That happens, unfortunately. But I say don't quit on Jesus. I'm saying his manner of work was to keep going in spite of the opposition, right? You've seen that little thing goes around on social media that says if Paul came back today, all the churches would be getting a letter. Well, I want to tell you, we already got the letters. Amen. We got them right here. They're in the New Testament. They're in the Bible. And they'll straighten churches out if we just read the ones we already got. It'll help us with this thing. And what will it say? It'll say, don't quit. Don't give up. You keep going. Your manner of work and your Christian life ought to be that you keep on going in spite of opposition. The world, the devil, and your own flesh. Sometimes your own worst enemy, right? The guy you look at. We can blame the devil, and sometimes it's the guy that looks back at me in the mirror that's my big problem, you know? And he makes me want to quit and give up a lot of times. And I have to punch him in the nose in the mirror and keep on going. Amen? But that's just the way it has to be sometimes. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. There's spiritual warfare. We know that. Paul kept going in spite of opposition. Y'all see me look at my watch? I'm going to keep going in spite of opposition, the looks I'm getting. All right, but let's go to number three. We will look at number three, and that is this. He worked with integrity. He worked with integrity. Now, he described that. If you look there, the verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. That was his preaching. Exhortation is preaching. He was exhorting, explaining. Exposition of the word. That's what we're doing right here, by the way, just expository preaching, explaining, exhortation, teaching the Bible, teaching the word, right? And of course, it was not in vain, but what did he say? He said it wasn't of deceit or uncleanness nor of guile. Well, what's he doing there? That's answering the critics. You know I was honest before you. You know, Paul saying, you know me and Silas and Timothy, our team, you know when we came there, we operated above board. above reproach. You know we're honest with you. You know that all that stuff they're saying is not so. There was no uncleanness in what we said. We didn't say inappropriate things. We didn't use gimmicks to try to get you in church. You know, so he's saying, we're trying to do the right things. 3 weeks of good preaching got a church started. A little remnant stayed behind in the midst of persecution. You know, Oliver B. Green used to come through this area right here. He used to come through this area, put up a tent, and he would preach for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in an area. And when he left, guess what? There'd be a church there from the people that got saved. Same thing Paul was doing. So it was, the effort was not in vain, right? That's exactly what happened there. And the people knew that it was with integrity that he was doing this. So he was preaching the word of God. And then he said in verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. I like that phrase right there. Allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. You know, you're a steward today. You're a steward. You know what a steward is? A manager. A manager of what? Well, you're a manager of the life that God's given you, the money God's given you, the salvation God's given you, the ministry God's given you, the church God has given you, the gospel that God has given you, right? He said, we've been entrusted, put in trust with the gospel. So what's Paul saying? He said, I handled it sacredly, carefully. No gimmicks, no false teaching, none of that. Nothing like that was going on. He didn't want his motives to be questioned. We'll get to this later, but the last thing he said in verse 6, he said when we might have been burdensome. He goes on to talk later about how he worked his own trade. He didn't want to be accused as a money grabber. He worked his own trade. We'll say more about that as we get deeper into the book. He talks about that. I wasn't there for filthy lucre. You know, he wasn't there just saying, hey, give me some money and I'll go to the next town. Wasn't like that. He was talking about his integrity. He was defending, if you will, his reputation and his motives. No false pretenses, no gimmicks. You know, people, there's an old saying about churches, what you win them with is what you got to keep them with. If you win them with a bunch of gimmicks, you got to keep doing a bunch of gimmicks. If you win them with the gospel, hey, just keep teaching the Bible. Amen? Y'all remember back in the 70s and 80s, they'd have all these, you know, the bus route. Man, hey, whatever kid brings the most kids on the bus this week gets a brand new bicycle. You know, and that's fine, whatever you got to do. I mean, sometimes. Or hey, if we have a record attendance next week, the preacher will swallow a live goldfish. And I've heard it this way. In fact, he'll get on the rooftop and do it. So everybody can go out there and watch. I ain't doing no gimmicks like that, especially now that it's got metal up there. Amen? I'm not doing that. Now, our Sunday school director on the other hand, he may want to do that. Record Sunday school attendance and Brother Allen a swallow goldfish. No, we're not doing things like that. I mean, maybe that's fun. Maybe there's something to it. But Paul was saying, hey, we just came to you and preached. We just came to you in honesty and transparency and gave you the Bible. That's what we want. That's what he won them with. That's what he kept them with. Amen. Fun at church is good and great. I liked it. Amen. But our main thing is to make sure we give the Word of God. He said he was entrusted with it, and it was a sacred honor. Amen? All right, the fourth thing, I'll give you number four. He worked for God and not men. He did say that, right? He worked for God and not men. Latter part of verse 4. He said, not as pleasing to men, but God, which trieth our hearts. So he's like, hey, I just did what I did to please God. Neither any time, verse 5, use we flattering words, as you know, nor cloak of covetousness. God is witness. In other words, cloak of covetousness, it was no guise, no disguise, and, you know, trying to be covetous for money or whatever. None of that. Verse 6, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others. All right. He's saying it wasn't about pleasing people. Paul was one of those, he's like, he wouldn't water down the gospel because of the biggest donor in the congregation. He wasn't doing it. You say, is that a big thing? Apparently in some places. I was talking to Oliver B. Green. He said years ago that, he said, I've never known a man so big or wealthy that I had to change my message. That's the way it ought to be. Amen? Right? God takes care of things. Right? So we trust God with those things. He said, I'm not watering it down. It's not a cloak of covetousness. Nothing like that. We're here to please God. Now look, Some people care too much about what others think. Well, look, as a Christian, you need to care about what others think because you got a testimony to uphold and you're to represent the Lord. And we're to make God look good, not silly or mean. Right? You know, people get the idea of God from Christians. I heard some fellow criticizing a certain preacher recently saying, I wouldn't use his methods. I got turned off on that a long time ago. That was so mean and everything. You know, okay, fine. I get it. I understand. Maybe so. But he was wrong in some of the things he was saying because he was telling me, you're not supposed to be pointed with the Scriptures. You know, you're supposed to be nice and gentle. Yeah, well, Paul brings that up here later. But he also was very pointed and saying, hey, you need to get right. You need to get saved. You got to confront people with the gospel, right? But you do it in love. But you can't do it in fear to say, well, we only got to say nice things. We can't talk about sin. Yeah, that happens today. I mean, it's advertised sometimes. Come to our church and you won't hear the word sin. I mean, people, that's gimmicks. They use those things, and that's not love. They claim to be the loving ones. If you won't tell somebody the truth, you don't love them. If you won't tell them there's a hell, that sin's going to wreck and ruin their life and their family, if you don't tell them that, you don't love them. Paul loved these people. He had integrity. But he didn't tone it down, he said, because of fear of men. And what Paul basically was saying is, they're criticizing me now, they're telling you lies now, I ain't changing now. Let them say what they're going to say. And he was saying, I'm doing this for God anyway. Folks, we should never disobey God in order to please people or attract crowds. You know, in the news recently, there's been that NFL player that I think for the Chiefs, I think it was a kicker. Are kickers still considered football players? Okay. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, he was the kicker, I think. And he gave this speech, I think maybe a graduation commencement speech at a college. And he taught for the biblical family and against the cultural sins of our day. You might have seen it in the news. He's been under a lot of fire. He needs to apologize. That was so divisive. That was so terrible. So finally he just came back and said, the only one I'm trying to please is Jesus. As long as Jesus is pleased with what I said, that's all that matters. That's what Paul's saying here. As long as the Lord, God Almighty, is pleased, he said, it wasn't in vain what I did there. I'm going to keep doing this in spite of all the opposition. You know it was above board. It was with integrity. And you know it was for God and not men. He told him, he said, not even you. That's what he said there in verse 6, wasn't it? Not even for you. He said, I didn't change nothing for you. Of course, then they appreciated that, right? But he was just letting them know he was doing the right thing. So Paul's manner of work was very important. Let me close with this. Warren Wiersbe said on this passage, we often hear, I don't care what your method is so long as your message is right. But some methods are unworthy of the gospel. They're cheap. Whereas the gospel is a costly message that required the death of God's only Son. They're worldly and man-centered, whereas the gospel is a divine message centered in God's glory. That's a pretty good statement. Oh, methods don't matter as long as you got the message right. It does matter. Let's do this thing God's way and do it in a way that pleases God, right? We want to make sure God's pleased. The world may not like it. People may not like it. But we got to remember, we're going to answer to God for our manner of work. He's our example. Paul is. So was Jesus. We're going to answer to God for our manner of work. We're going to stand before God for our stewardship and all the things we mentioned a little bit ago. Our motives, our sincerity needs to always be above board, above reproach, with integrity, making sure we're pleasing God and not men. You know, in Revelation 21:8, it says, it gives a long list of wicked people that are going to hell, the lake of fire. First one, it says, but the fearful. Fearful, first one. Why are the fearful going to hell? Because they were afraid of what the friends might say, therefore they'd never get saved. The fearful end up going to hell because they're afraid my friends may not approve if I get saved. Now, that happens all the time. Well, I'll tell you what, the other fearful is somebody that is saved, but they're afraid to just stand up and do what's right and say what's right because of men, when they ought to be concerned about making sure God is pleased. And I'm always amazed in the Gospels. Jesus, you know, according to this world, Jesus said some outlandish things. He really did. He said some outlandish things. Paul said preaching is foolishness in the eyes of the world, right? You know, it never stopped Jesus from saying any of those things. You know why? He knew he was telling the truth. The world couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't understand it. They thought he was crazy. Paul was told he was a madman. Guess what? They just kept speaking the truth. You know, we're living in that kind of culture right here in America today. People don't know the Bible like they used to. And you say biblical things today, they get offended, they get upset, and tell you to apologize for it. But as long as you know you're telling the truth, your manner of work should be like Paul's, what we just talked about here today. Just keep doing it for Jesus' sake. He's pleased. And hopefully, like in this case, even though there was a lot of opposition, some heard the message and believed. So what he did was not in vain. What you do, if it reaches one soul, VBS, reaches one soul, not in vain. Amen? Right? Any of the stuff we do edifies, builds up in the faith, one Christian. One Christian gets encouraged. One Christian here today gets something out of this that'll help them. We're not doing this in vain, right? Coming to church today, you don't do that in vain. It's a blessing. It's a help to you, right? God gave it. Take advantage of it. But our manner of work, it needs to be just like Paul's. Let's bow our heads this morning as we think about these things. Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. It's so instructive. Lord, this is a passage of Scripture. I've never really been in it as far as preaching before. And God, there's just so much good stuff there that, Lord, we need not to ignore it. We thank you, Lord, for your word and your instruction that you give us. And Lord, I pray today that this message will not be in vain. I pray that something from this today will touch hearts today. Somebody needs to realize they need to get saved and stop being afraid about doing it. Somebody needs to realize that they need to live right, speak right, do right, stop being afraid of men and live it to please God. Whatever the case might be, Lord, we just need to learn to trust you with it all. And Lord, I pray to Father you'd meet the needs of this congregation here this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name today. Heads bowed, let's stand, some music plays. You might want to come this morning and do business with the Lord some way this morning. Ask God for the boldness. Paul said, even though I've been beaten and jailed, I came to your city and boldly gave you the gospel. In spite of the opposition, in spite of the ridicule, in spite of the persecution, in spite of somebody may not like it, we need to keep shining the light for Jesus. We need to keep telling people the gospel. We need to keep inviting folks to church. Doing the right thing, living the right life before the world. We care about what people think to a certain point. But when it comes right down to it, we'd rather obey God than men. That's what he's talking about. Trust and obey no matter what the world says. Trust and obey no matter what your old flesh says. Just do what the Lord wants. Amen, amen. You may look this way. I hope you get something out of that. I've